The company NovaCoast is a company that provides training for people with disabilities. And David and Kirk, if we can get Kirk, we'll be able to talk about how this program will work for people in Pennsylvania to become a cybersecurity specialist and get a virtual job. So take it away, David.
Yes. So our parent company is NovaCoast Inc. That company is actually a cybersecurity firm. That's what their specialty is cybersecurity development, engineering, coding. They are about $100 million a year company with 400 or so employees. And my role with them used to be what's called a security operations center manager. And I manage those centers throughout the U.S. where we monitor the networks of other companies, banks, 40 or so federal agencies. That's their bread and butter as a company. Along the way, we discovered that we needed employees and not always getting the quantity that we needed. So we start developing our own training program. That has turned into the APEX program. And now we offer that externally. So what that program is it is a 10-week online, on-demand course where we will train people for two certifications in the computer industry. These certifications are industry recognized throughout the world. One is called CompTIA Network Plus. That is the basic building blocks of understanding a network, how it's put together, the basics of everything networking. And that by itself would open you to a host of entry-level positions.
Hello, David.
Hey, Kirk. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Hello, good. Everyone. Hello, PCB.
So then the second certification is Security Plus, CompTIA Security Plus. And that's the entry-level cybersecurity certification. So both of these are stackable. You can take them to any IT in the U.S., or technically throughout the world. They would be recognized, and you could get an entry-level position. So it's a 10-week online on-demand course. We are working with vocational rehab there in the state of Pennsylvania. So the students don't have to pay for the course. The state's paying for that for them. And then once the students have completed the course, we are taking on the extra work of working with the student to help them find employment. So because our parent company is NovaCoast Inc. and they're well recognized in the IT world, we kind of use their clout and say, hey, look, these are students that have graduated NovaCoast program, and they have NovaCoast seal of approval on them. And we've had about 70 companies so far that have stepped up and said, hey, we'll interview your graduates. And we're extending that through Pennsylvania now that we're set up in the state of Pennsylvania so that you can either work remotely, depending on the company. Some of it's remote work. Some of it's coming to an office. You know, it just depends on where you live and what opportunities we can find you. But in a nutshell, we get you two basic certifications, pay for the exams, and then once you're certified, we get your resume and help you find a position at the end of the day so that you can start a new career.
And this is Kirk Adams. I'm the immediate past president of AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind, and prior to that, I had the same role, CEO of the Lighthouse for the Blind in Seattle. And while I was at AFB, we did extensive research for a couple of years on which career fields are most promising for people who are blind, where we should really try to focus vocational rehabilitation efforts and employment training programs. And cybersecurity came out at the top of the list. The White House just published a paper at the end of July, a strategic plan for education and workforce reform. And they cited at that point there were 755,000 open jobs in cybersecurity. And, you know, I've been working on creating career paths for people who are blind for 30 years or so. And this is a winner. And David had done a lot of work before I came along, and he's had the experience of becoming disabled and unemployed and knows what that's like through a car accident, losing a leg and losing an eye and many, many eye surgeries and things that many of us have experienced. And then being on disability for 8 years and then returning to the workforce. And I think kind of accidentally discovering cybersecurity and being hired and becoming a manager and then wanting to pay that forward by creating the APEX program. And I'm very excited to be involved. And I apologize for being late. I don't know if David mentioned we've had our first graduate, a gentleman named Curtis Jackson, who was working for Envision Blindness Agency in Wichita in a contact center. And he went through the program, earned his Network Plus and Security Plus. He was actually hired by NovaCoast that has offices in Wichita. So he started as a cybersecurity analyst on September 5th. And I believe there's 11 students currently at some point of progress through the program. And we start a new one every month. And we added Florida and Pennsylvania most recently. And so getting a lot of momentum. And I believe once we're fully operational and we're set up with VR in the 40 most populous states, that we can have I think we can have 400 blind people a year move into cybersecurity careers. And for me, the prospect of doing that for 10, 11, 12 years and having 4,000 or 5,000 blind people in cybersecurity, that's just an exciting prospect to me. That'll change the face of the industry, and it'll lead toward systems being more accessible, people being more open to hiring other blind people. So I'm looking forward to the momentum and just really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all today.
Okay. So David, do you want to talk more about the program or where do you guys want to go from here?
I wanted to cover a little bit about our first graduate and where we're at in the program. So our first graduate was out of Wichita. He got his certifications, and we hired him in directly. We have a security operations center there. We have three other graduates about to be graduates that we're working with to get hired. The program is in its infancy. We really ran our first class for the blind and visually impaired in May. But we're already starting to see results, positive results of people not only finishing the class, getting certified, but then also getting positions. Kirk can elaborate on, we're working with one of the teams from JAWS, the screen reader, to do some scripting work with them to overcome compatibility issues with software used in the industry.
We're working with Ryan Jones. He's the head of software for Vispero, and you know, they own Freedom Scientific that owns JAWS. And as we encounter any kind of issues with accessibility and compatibility with JAWS, we're working directly with them to create the scripts so that we're always attacking the accessibility issues as they arise. A lot of good pre-work was done on the training program, and that NovaCoast partnered with Envision. Some of you may know Mika Paikala, or the name Mika Paikala. He's a blind IT guy who lives in Boston, but he works for Envision, and he did the work to make sure the courses were accessible. Continuous quality improvement. We've taken some steps recently to pull out the audio files so they could be run in Media Player so people can fast forward, pause, rewind more easily. The lectures are being transcribed as we speak, so there'll be written transcripts. And as people go through the program, again, it's in its infancy. We want feedback. If people encounter problems, we want to know. There's a daily, it's set up for 20 hours a week for 10 weeks, 200 hours. People can use their own assistive technology, whatever they're comfortable with, to do it. There's a daily quiz just to make sure people are on track and tracking through the program. But if anyone runs into accessibility issues, we want to hear about it. We ask for that. And then as people get employed and go to work for these companies, we'll be working closely with them. And like I said, we've got Vispero on the team to work through any accessibility issues that pop up with JAWS.
I think at this point through, we would be open to any questions about the program or any more information that you would like to know.
And David, you gave the web address, I assume?
I have not yet, no.
Okay. So there's a website. It's called the APEX program, and it's very simply www.theapexapexprogram.com. And there's an inquiry form there that we ask people to use and fill out if you have any interest. If you want to talk about it, set up a time to talk to David. If you fill out the form, we ask you to indicate which state you're in, because we like to go back to each state VR agency and say, we've got 17 inquiries from Pennsylvania. We have 24 inquiries from Florida, because it helps them understand the level of interest that people have.
This is Rick Morin. I've got a quick question, guys. What prerequisite skills do you need to bring, do you need to have to be able to enter this program?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I understand, and then David can correct me if I'm wrong. First of all, the good news is you don't need a degree of any kind of college degree. And CompTIA allows people as young as 13 years of age to sit for these certifications. So in cyber, I've learned that the degrees don't really matter. It's the certifications that matter. And the Network Plus and Security Plus are the entry-level standard certifications. And then as far as computer skills, you have to be able to use a computer. A lot of the stuff is web-based, so need to be able to navigate web-based tools.
Yeah, if you can use like Chrome or Firefox, a search engine, YouTube, and then the Microsoft suite, PowerPoint, Word, media player, that's about the extent of the technical skills you need to have in order to take the course. We'll teach you the rest. It's set up for novice individuals. I was a hiring manager for a while at NovaCoast, and basically was under the philosophy, if you were a person that fit with our team and I could teach you, that's all you really needed to have for to come work for us. And I based this program off of that same philosophy. If you can be taught, we can teach you. So we've set it up so that the technical skills needed are really minor. You need to be able to use a computer. You need to be able to get on the internet, use a search engine, and then PowerPoint and Word, those type of things. Other than that, you don't need any elaborate computer skills. The beauty of cybersecurity is once you get in it, we teach you how to do the analysis of what's going on, of the logs from the computers. What the human does in the cybersecurity world is analyze what the computer said happened, and then the human determines if that A, really happened, and B, if it was bad like the computer says it is. And if the human determines that it was real and it was bad, then there's what we call a playbook that says if A happened, do B. So an analyst doesn't need to know everything in the computer world. They need to understand, be able to say something happened, this is what happened, and then follow the directions of what to do. So they don't have to try to figure out on their own what the next step should be. That's all written out, documented for them. You know, whether it needs to be an email, a phone call, who to contact, what all that is written out. So there's no guesswork. So basically, we teach you the terminology, especially Security Plus is a lot of terminology. And then we'll walk you through going through a log and using some of the tools to do the analysis and teach you how to do the analysis so that when you get into the job, basically that's what you're doing is analyzing the logs and saying, yep, Joe Bob went to this website and it's bad, and then followed the directions from there.
This is Doug Hunsinger with a question. I know this might be difficult since you're, I think you're early in the program, maybe you aren't, but what kind of pay are we talking about if people get jobs, and are they part-time, full-time, or does it depend on your, I guess, your locale and situation?
So I would say 99.999% of these jobs are full-time. I don't know that I've seen a part-time analyst position in my 7 years in this world. And the very base, lowest pay I've seen starts at about $40,000 a year. A lot of positions start in the 60 range. And then with a year experience, maybe 2 years experience in Security Plus, you can be looking at low six-figure type positions.
Sounds promising.
I know someone who should leave retirement.
It's a very well-paying positions, and there's lots of openings. Like I use our office up where I'm at is near Domino's Pizza's corporate headquarters. They start their entry-level analyst out at $70,000 a year. So they're good-paying positions. Just the blind and visually impaired community has been overlooked. And that's something we're kind of trying to knock down those barriers. We approached the Veterans Administration about working with disabled vets. And from what they've told us, we're the only company in the U.S. that has talked to them about working with blind veterans. So it's just a community that's full of really sharp individuals that can do this work. And the industry as a whole has just overlooked that community. So we're trying to change that around.
And I know David mentioned it, but NovaCoast is very, very embedded in this industry. And they run a twice a year a cybersecurity conference called Innovate. And they fly in about 120 companies. They're cyber leaders. And I was able to attend one about a year ago in Phoenix and then this last March in Nashville with David. And we talked to, 100 plus chief information security officers about Apex. And I think Dave Schleppenbach joined. Mr. Schleppenbach, hello.
Hello.
In any case, we had probably 75 of these folks who said they'll interview any blind person who goes through the program and achieves the certification. So, and NovaCoast has a department, and one of their businesses, one of their revenue centers is placement. So they have people who are in the businesses of placing people with other companies. So it's a beautiful thing. And like I said earlier, I've been focused on creating employment and careers for people who are blind for 30 years or so. And I see a winner here.
That sounds terrific. How long does it take to get the certifications?
The training is 10 weeks. And then
so we try to have the students. So the way the course breaks down is Net Plus is the first month, Security Plus is the second month, and we try to get students to sit for the exam at the end of each month segment. So by the time the 10 weeks is done, they should be either have one in hand and ready to take the other, somewhere in that ballpark. And hopefully 10 to 12 weeks total, they have both in hand. Once they've passed the first exam, I actually have them send me their resume, and we put on it that Security Plus is in progress, and we start shopping their resume around at that point. We don't wait for them to complete the course.
I think our time is up, but I did want to say we've worked with Pearson View. They administer the tests, so the tests are accessible. People can use their own assistive technology, whatever they prefer. Just like anyone who takes those tests remotely, you have to be on camera to make sure you're not cheating. But you can take it with whatever your AT you want, wherever you want.
Well, you still have 8 minutes, but
yeah, we still have some time.
I have a question, though. I was curious whether this is Chris Hunsinger. I was curious whether there is, I don't know how to say this, whether the visually impaired person who takes on these positions, how much behind the curve is that person when they hit the floor at the beginning until they get faster, or is there any noticeable difference between the fully sighted person and the visually impaired person who, once they've been certified, who has that position?
We are at the beginning of the program. My contention is, and assumption is, if the blind cybersecurity analyst has adequate computer skills, they should be able to be as fast and as productive as a sighted person. It's all in the digital environment. And these are entry-level jobs, so a blind person's coming into an entry-level position just like a sighted person, who hasn't done the work before either. I know David has one of his best, sighted employees he hired was a truck driver. He'd never done cyber in his life, but he got trained, got the certifications, and now he's an all-star.
Yeah, and it really, I use Curtis, the gentleman that came to work for us. I think he was about a week behind, and that was due to issues on our end where we needed to iron out some bugs for our training system. But like when you come in house for us, we give you a 30-day, and I think most every company that I've dealt with, there's at least a 30-day onboarding process. And with most other companies, you're only learning one software system, because we provide services to 100 plus other companies. You might be learning 5 or 6 of these software systems. So I know Curtis, as of this week, is monitoring 3 different types of software. And that's what we would expect of a normal employee. So he may have been about a week behind or so, but I know early on it was some issues of us having to iron out some of our own internal bugs. I tell people it's really great for a sighted person to say something's compatible, but until you have somebody that's blind go through it, you don't really know. And even though we had everything audited, there were still a couple of things that we had to work out. Fortunately, we have the teams in-house that we write our own software and everything, so that we're doing fixes on the fly. But that's, I don't think he was more than a week behind, if that.
I just know that the expectations in companies sometimes, or in government agencies, start out with that they don't think that person who has a vision impairment will be able to handle a full range of work, and so they come up with excuses to limit their work, et cetera.
Yes. I've lived that. Having only one eye, when I first came out of school, with degrees with honors, I applied through a recruiter to a cybersecurity position. And I found out later he was not getting me the interview because he thought with one eye that I could not work on a computer monitor all day. I got fortunate that I met a different recruiter for the same company maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, and actually wound up getting the interview and getting that position. So, yes, that's out there where people just assume that you can't do a job. I know we in-house, we were prepared to give Curtis extra time if he needed it, but he didn't need it. So, and I, having in the last year done career fairs for people that are blind and visually impaired, there's a lot of sharp people out there that just don't have eyes or don't have sight. And that doesn't mean that they're not just as intelligent or smarter than me. I met a young man that's 18 now from Philly, who was telling me about having set up a server in his mom's house, and he's got this security on it and this on it, and asking me my advice of what else he should do to it. And I'm thinking, I'm in the industry. I don't have a server set up in my house. There's that out there. But, from what I'm seeing is companies are willing and ready. There is some you know, how do we questions on that we're getting is how do we accommodate? What do we need to do? What software, hardware do we need to provide? And we're providing consulting for those companies as well. So we can say, hey, you may need a Braille keyboard. You may need a HIMSS device. You may need this, or you may need a Cadence device, which my friend Dave is going to talk about in the next session. So, you know, we're shepherding companies through the fear as well. I have not found a reluctance to hire. I have found queries and questions as to what do we need to do to be ready to hire people that are blind and visually impaired.
I have a quick question. Since these jobs are remote, could a person who is deafblind and has the requisite computer and web skills go through this course and possibly get employment?
I will say, first of all, they're not all remote. Some customers and clients may require someone to be in a facility.
Gotcha.
That's a combo. The course will be accessible to people who are deafblind shortly. The transcripts of the lectures are being done, and so they can then be read as text. And yes would be the answer.
And Kirk, this is Dave. If you guys don't mind, I could comment briefly.
Go right ahead, my friend.
So one of the things to keep in mind, and this is an argument I've used with politicians and employers a lot, a lot of these jobs involve processing tickets, you know, for issues that come up. And that's kind of what we call an asynchronous task. It does not have to be done in real time. Someone submits a ticket, then you process it, and then it'll bounce back and forth. And that really lends itself well to someone, let's say, that's deafblind or is using assistive technology that may need some extra time, but otherwise is fully capable of processing whatever the issue is.
That makes sense. You don't need to know how long it took that person to do that as long as they get the answer to you.
Well, and if you think about how many times you submit a request for support from a company that's hiring, you know, someone maybe not even from the United States, and how long it takes you to get a response, how is it any different?
And you can't understand their syntax anyway when they write the response. But we won't go there. Never mind.
You just did.
Well, and even in, you know, like cyber analysis, generally there's an analyst has 15 to 30 minutes just to determine if something happened. That's not counting the investigation. So if something legit happened, they have up to half an hour to determine that. And then the investigation can take however long it needs to take to determine what. There's parameters, obviously, if it's some type of an attack that gets escalated and the analyst isn't even dealing with it at that point. But if it's a lower level event, the analyst there really is no clock on figuring out what really happened and, you know, processing it from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Dave Schleppenbach is going to talk about a technology I have had the privilege to have my hands on, which is super cool for anyone who loves refreshable Braille. And again, it's www.theapexprogram.com. And if you have any level of interest or know of anyone who might have interest, there's a little inquiry form there and it comes right to us. And typically the next step is to set up a one-on-one conversation with David.
I just want to say thank you for your time today. I know it's just right after 3, so we'll turn it back over to y'all and our friend Dave with the Cadence from Tactile Engineering.
Okay, get those inquiries out there, guys, and tell your friends.